With us on the line now is Jill Hassan. She has 20 years experience teaching and writing on a range of issues to do with personal and professional development, as well as mental health and well-being. She's the author of more than 22 books, including the Sunday Times bestseller, How to Deal with Difficult People. Her latest book, Lonely Less, is published to coincide with Loneliness Awareness Week, which is this week. The book helps you to connect with others, make friends, and feel less lonely. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you.
Oh, it's lovely to speak to you again. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Yes.
Good. Good stuff. So the interesting thing about loneliness is you don't actually have to be on your own in order to feel lonely.
No, I mean, plenty of people, plenty of us, that we have times where we want time on our own, and that's being alone. When you're alone, you're just separate from someone or something else. But when you're lonely, that's to do with how you feel about being on your own. So if you feel that you are lacking connections with other people, that you don't fit in, that you don't have any sort of feelings of warmth or acceptance or understanding from others, if you don't have other people that you have time, you know, can spend time with and do things with, then if you don't like that, then you're going to feel lonely, and that's perfectly normal and natural, because feelings of loneliness, although they're not nice, they're uncomfortable, but they're actually a prompt to make us actually do something about it, do something about the fact that we are feeling lonely and disconnected from other people. So yeah, not nice to feel lonely, but rather than and sit there and do nothing about it, it's a prompt of, okay, you've got to start reaching out.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? As you say, it's really not a nice feeling. It can be very, very upsetting to feel lonely. And unless you do something about it, it's likely to just get worse. You know, if you're inclined to feel like that, theoretically, you could always feel like that unless you make some changes. It's really down to you to start doing things differently, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. If you don't do anything about it, it just gets worse. It becomes a sort of spiral. So, yes, feelings of loneliness can leave you feeling sad, but they can also result in you becoming despairing, actually. And the thing is, the longer that you're lonely, the more often that you ruminate and say, I've got, you know, I haven't got any friends, or I don't feel connected to somebody, I don't feel understood, and you just keep thinking like that more and more, and things just become worse. So there's got to be a break there. Now sometimes your circumstances will change without you having to do anything at all. Let's say you were a parent living somewhere where there were no other young families around you, and you felt quite cut off from others with children, and then you happened to move to a place where there were lots of families and lots of young children, and then you got to know people very quickly and easily. So that's great if sometimes circumstances do change, but a lot of the time you're the one that's got to make the change. It's a little bit like when you're looking for a job, it's unlikely that employers are going to be queuing up to hire you. So you have to put yourself out there. You have to find out where the jobs are. And it's the same with wanting to be less lonely. You have to find out where people are, what they're doing. And you first of all have to, though, think about what actually is it that I want? Do I want a bunch of people to share interests and hobbies with? Do I want one or two really close friends? What am I looking for here?
Yeah. And it's, of course, easier for some than others. You know, some people are naturally extrovert and have no problem going into a social situation, you know, a pub or whatever, and just going up to and talking to people, saying, oh, hi, how are you doing? Where are you from? And starting conversations, and can therefore make friends really, really easily. But obviously there's others that would really struggle, that wouldn't think for 1 minute to just start talking to a stranger. So it can be much harder.
Not only much harder, but that can actually make people who are more introverted feel worse, because others, well-meaning friends and family might go, oh, well, just, you know, join a club, go and meet people in a pub, do this, do that. And if you're someone who thinks, no, I'd rather stick pins in my eyes than do that, I can't possibly do that. It's too frightening. And particularly if actually you've got social anxiety, then other well-meaning people, or not well-meaning people, it just puts pressure on you and makes you feel worse. So, okay, what's the answer? Well, fortunately, most of us have got, and I know if you're in the older generation like my mum, who's 93, but most of us have got access to the internet. If you are like my mum, you've got someone like myself and my sister who helped mum by using the internet with her, to reach out and find out what sort of things are going on out there that you might like to join. So there's an endless amount of clubs, courses, classes, activities. And one thing I'm a huge advocate of is voluntary work. So first of all, it's just about finding out what's going on out there and finding something that really appeals to you. So for me, if it's voluntary work, it might be looking for a volunteer position where there's no pressure on you to start being all gregarious and getting to know people, but just where you can, when you help other people, you help yourself. So then you, if you're doing voluntary work, you're involved in a cause that interests you, and you're also meeting other people that are interested in the same thing. So that's a really good step towards getting involved with other people. Mm. But there's other things like meetup groups. Meetup.com is a worldwide organization that's full of incredibly interesting groups that meet up it could just be for a book club or a film club, but it could be skydiving, it could be rock climbing. It's really a matter of doing research. Again, just like a job, you've got to find out what's out there first of all. So if you are more introverted, you take it one step at a time and do not feel pressured, and recognize that it takes time. I know for myself, for example, when I became a parent 30 years ago, I live in Brighton, in England, and I didn't know anyone else with young children. It actually, I wasn't desperate, but it took me, I would say, 2, 3, 4 years to sort of build up a group of friends. And it can take that amount of time, and just keep moving forward, make connections with people. I have put in the book about actually not just what to do, but also what to say, how to, you know, get involved with other people and what to chat about, so you can start building those friendships.
Yeah, as you say, there's so many resources online and so many clubs that you can find out about just by doing a bit of a Google search in your local area. There's lots of clubs to do, you know, like bridge clubs or playing chess or backgammon or things like that, you know, any games that you're interested in playing in. That's a great way of meeting people, because you're meeting for a common ground. You're not forced to necessarily start opening up and having conversations if you're not ready to do that, because it's all about the game that you're playing. So that can be an easy way in, maybe.
Absolutely, you've literally got a shared interest, so you can be talking about that first before you start getting into other things.
Yeah, or of course a great thing is exercise. There's obviously so many exercise classes, and that's a really easy way to meet new people and a shared interest that way. Plus, of course, it's good for you and healthy, you know, whether it's a walking club, a running club or an exercise class, you know, they're all over the place.
Absolutely, they are. In fact, I can't remember off the top of my head what it's called, but there's actually an organisation where, for people who are interested in running, where they run as a group and then stop off and do some voluntary work for a person in their own home. Maybe stop off and do half an hour or an hour's gardening, or stop off and pop to the shops for that person. So yes, there's a huge range of things that you can do, and exercise definitely. You're getting more fit and you're helping other people at the same time. Yeah. Oh, it's called The Good Gym. I just looked it up because I knew I'd written about it. www.goodgym.co.uk. That's something that's happening in this country. You stop off on runs to do physical tasks for community organisations and to support isolated older people with social visits.
Wow, that sounds brilliant. I'm going to look them up. Thank you.
Creative, imaginative, you know, things out there that you can join in.
Yeah, definitely. And if not, set something up yourself.
Absolutely. And meetup.com allows for that. You've got, you know, something that you want to set up in your local area. You put a page up there. You put a sort of call out to people saying, anyone else interested in doing this? And before you know it, you'll be organising events for other people.
Definitely. I've just had a message from one of our listeners saying, can I suggest Costa Women anywhere in Spain to meet people, particularly just for ladies? So that's a big organisation that we have here, various social groups, networking groups, things like that, which again is another way that's great to meet people. There's lots of groups here, particularly for ladies, I have to say. But then there's...
Then they drag the men along afterwards.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we do as women. We do organise. You know, we're into relating to other people and sharing confidences and discussing difficulties and problems. So Costa Women, get in touch with them because they're set themselves up to include people. So they're going to be welcoming right from the start. And don't be frightened to tell the organiser of any group, I'm nervous about joining in. Let them know that. So, not because you're trying to appear needy, but just so they can go, okay, don't worry. You know, we'll make sure someone's by your side on the first meeting.
Yeah. And often, you often find when women are getting together, if they do have partners, they'll often talk about their partners and find out that if their husbands play golf or whatever, if they have a common interest, then they end up getting together and can be friends and meet up as well. You know, that
exactly.
Very often happens. You get to, if you have a group of female friends, you may get together with partners and then the men start talking and then they agree to meet up separately. You know, that's how it works, isn't it?
And you've created a whole, new social group. And in fact, that's sort of one of my top tips, really, is that get to know your friend's friends. If you know one other person, they must have a friend and they must have a friend. So, say, you know, you might organise for the four of you to meet up at a restaurant or a bar or have a day out and get to know each other. So that's literally networking. That's inviting a friend to invite a friend who also invites a friend. There you are. You've got four new people. That'd be great.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, it's always lovely chatting with you, Jill. Thanks so much for joining us. If people want to get a copy of your latest book, it's called Lonely Less, and it's by Jill Hassan, who we've been chatting to. Jill, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.